Attention everyone, this is an emergency broadcast. The loud frequency coming from your radio is not a mistake. Do not turn off your radio, but instead turn up your radio as loud as it can go. Do this so we can broadcast this frequency as loud as possible.
And welcome to another episode of Game Stuff. I'm your gaming gal, Kalai, and with me today is Roberto. What's up, Roberto?
Greetings, everyone. Spring. Spring has sprung. Loving the hot temperatures and being able to play video games indoors with my windows open. Hope you're doing the same.
Definitely not allergies.
Oh, you're one of those, huh? Yeah. No allergies for me. But, except maybe I don't like bees, though. Well, wasps, I should say. Bees are good. Wasps, though. If you leave the window open, they try and get in.
For those of you that are new to this podcast, we are a conversational podcast for gaming by gamers about gaming. This week's topic is we're talking about the two new systems that were announced this week. We have the PlayStation 5 and, of course, the Xbox One All Digital.
A.K.A. the SAD.
Yes. But before we get started, let's get some quick housekeeping out of the way. Please subscribe and rate us. You can follow us on Twitter at GameStuffCast, which Roberto is helping me with the Twitter. He's been doing a bang-up job. And you can search our Facebook group, GameStuff Podcast, and ask for an invite. We will love to hang out with you and talk to you there. You can also check out our Patreon. It's patreon.com/provengamer. Now, let's get our show started as we always do with Roberto. What have you been playing?
Oh boy. Plenty of cool stuff. Especially portable things like that on my Vita and the Switch. I'll go over the Switch game I'll play in the next podcast because it's still, like, some of the reviews came out today, but I'm still kind of shaky on the embargo stuff. So, I don't want to kind of reveal anything, and plus I want to work a little bit into it. So, I'll mention the three PlayStation games I've been playing. First up is a game you've heard of that came out a couple years ago, and is nonetheless amazing, Bastion by Supergiant Games.
That's an older game.
Yeah, 2015, it came out on the PS4.
You liking it?
Yeah, you know what it is? I have this bad habit, and I'm sure other people have kind of developed this too, where you start an RPG and you start trudging through it, and then you stop, and then you go on to do something else, and then you go back to it later on, and it's like many months later on. Like, I've been working on this game here and there for quite some time. I'm playing it, and there's nothing bad about it. It just, you know, when I think it's probably me. I get distracted easily, and then it's like you play this and then you want to play another game. And sometimes with, like, some of these RPGs, it's like you have to discipline yourself to play it. And when there's a game like, let's say, Earth Defense Force, where you can just pick it up and start shooting things right away. So, nothing bad about Bastion, though. It's a beautiful game, a refreshingly unique game with a wonderful soundtrack, a great narrator, solid story, and great avenue for customization in the combat. So, the Bastion takes place... in a mystical land where all these lands kind of hover, and something terrible happens called the Calamity, and it just breaks, the earth cracks and breaks from underneath the character and everybody. It destroys entire towns. A lot of people die, sadly, and all this, like, the wildlife starts kind of taking over, and all these monstrosities start happening. So you are the kid, as in, like, you're a young man, who, you know, you've had a rough life yourself, but you're very good and skilled in certain weapons, and your objective is to rebuild the Bastion and try and restore the land again.
What type of game is this, if you don't mind me asking? I'm not really sure. It's like role-playing, or is it like
an isometric action RPG.
Okay.
From Supergiant Games. So these guys made Transistor, which I want to play. I've been meaning to play really bad, but I want to finish Bastion first because that's, you know, the lineage. Pyre, which came out last year.
Do you own Transistor?
Yes, I do.
Okay, so those of you that don't own Transistor, you can get it free right now from the Epic Store.
There you go. And then that's a really cool one because that actually takes place in a cyberpunk city, and you're like a jazz musician, and I think that there's something with the, I think with your voice, and then this, the sword that you wield talks to you. So it's really, really neat. But in any case, Bastion has a wonderful artistic design that's actually really, really neat. And it, like I said, it's isometric, it's colorful. There's a lot of interesting design and combat. Like you can use a deep customization system with the combat. Like it's simple, but I say it's deep because you can switch it out. Like if you want to fight with guns and let's say a machete, you could. If you want to fight with a hammer and let's say like a little flamethrower, you could. So there's all sorts of different aspects to the combat. The creatures that you face are also very interesting. They're intriguing. And then, of course, there's the story, which is really cool because it's told from a narrator perspective. But it's the voice is the voice is, it's kind of like that really addictive growl, like that arrests your ears, kind of like David Hayter when he saw Snake, you know, like, can you hear me? You know, kept you waiting, huh? This one is cool because it's like the kid had himself a rage. You know, that whiskey there has a nice, bitter, smooth taste down the throat, but it has that awful backwash that is none too pretty. Like, it's a Western rally style. I think you'd like this, Kalai, because you're, not that beer drinking is a central focus of this, but you can get different ales that give you special powers and attributes for your combat. And it's like the way this guy talks, it's like it sounds like a guy who's at the bar, a cool tavern, and he's seen a lot and he wants to tell you a tale. Like it's a hell, you know, so that narrator is Logan Cunningham, by the way, if you want to look him up.
I will.
Yeah, so I'm playing on the Vita, and I just discovered the Vita is actually cross-save with PS4. So then I played a little bit on PS4 not too long ago, and I'm going to try and see if I can finish the game that way on PS4, you know, so I can get the big visuals and everything. And there's a new game plus mode, stuff like that I want to conquer. It's also on the Nintendo Switch, and obviously, whether you have an Xbox, PC, Switch, PS4, Vita, this is a must-buy at full price. It's an amazing game. It's immersive. It holds on. It doesn't let go. It's really neat.
So what else have you been playing?
Okay, so the next two games are from publisher Sodesco, and they're interesting titles. So the first one is Xenon Racer.
Oh yeah, you tweeted out that you wanted to talk about this. I saw that.
Oh gosh, and I meant to talk about God's Trigger too. Okay, you know what? I'll go through these two real quick. We'll do four. Okay, but I'll go through real quick. Xenon Racer is a sci-fi racer that's kind of on par with, let's say, like a little bit like Wipeout and also Ridge Racer. It was kind of hyped up because it had the 60 frames per second and it looked in the gorgeous visuals and a thumping 1990s EDM soundtrack that actually looked pretty cool. And there's a lot of that stuff going on. And here's what I did. I decided I wanted to get the game, so I wound up getting the game on the Nintendo Switch. And I played the game on the Switch, and I thought, okay, this is okay. It's a little rough around the edges, but it's okay. And I'm playing on the flight to PAX, and I thought that's okay. So then I said, you know what, Roberto? Maybe you can talk to Sodesco real quick and see if you can just get the PS4 version. And I did, and they got back to me. And I got the PS4 version, and it's head over heels better than the Switch, regrettably. The Switch looks like a rough beta or alpha. This one, well, okay, maybe more than a beta or alpha. That's harsh. It's okay. It's functional. This one, though, the PS4 version is actually really solid, but it's a little rough around the edges. But nonetheless, a very good, solid sci-fi racer. So the point is that in 2030, you're racing with magnetic levitation, and you get to race around these gorgeous tracks that take you to Miami, Dubai, Boston, so on. And your objective is to race competitively. You drift, you get energy. The energy turns into boosts. You boost down roadways at hundreds of miles per hour. You go to all sorts of different locations. There's different cars, different customizations. But what I like about the game is that it's very aggressively 1990s. It has the women, the 1990s EDM vocalization dance music with women vocalizing and crazy visuals and really cool retro 1990s futuristic city, kind of like The Fifth Element. There's a guy, like, you know, there's a narrator who's like, "Oh man," or "Good job," you know, kind of like talking to you the whole time when you're racing. So that's fun, like kind of like Ridge Racer. And it was okay. It was good. I'd say right now, if you're gonna get the game, get it on PS4. They have a lot of content packs on the way. They're gonna release several free updates that either improve the game, add some content. The Switch version will get this too, but I'd have to say the Switch version, that's a deep discount. If you want to have this game on the go, that's a deep, deep discount, because it's just, it's kind of rough. And, you know, it's like, but I give them some credit because they tried. And then the next game I'll come over real quick is Hind, Air Missions Hind, which is a simulator game from Sudesco. So what it is, you are, these guys decide to take the Russian Mi-24 Hind-D helicopter, which was an actual helicopter flown in the Soviet Union, and is basically a flying tank, and you get to fly the helicopter in a series of missions in a simulator style. So visually the game has hyper-realistic graphics, at least the helicopter does. The environment looks pretty ugly up close, but it's okay. The weapon systems are supposed to be true to life and based on real, you know, and real weapons that are used in the field. You go on several campaigns based upon real life military scenarios, like the war in Afghanistan, the Soviet-Afghan war, Southeast Asia, and so on and so forth. And, you know, you get to go from the cockpit or go from the third person perspective or fly a variety of other helicopters. And I like it. It's a simulator game that's really kind of like accessible and it takes some getting used to with the controls, but it's actually pretty cool. So now we'll segue into something you and I both been playing, and that's God's Trigger.
Yeah, this is a really interesting game.
Yeah, so God's Trigger I actually played at PAX West in 2017, surprisingly, at the Polish booth. And what it is it's actually a Hotline Miami twin-stick shooter. Well, Hotline Miami-inspired twin-stick shooter, I should say. In which one character is an angel, a fallen angel, and the other character is a demon from hell. And your objective is to kind of get payback using their unique powers in combat. And it's pretty cool. What do you think, Kalai?
I actually kind of like the game. It is a twin-stick shooter. It's very hard. It's not like most twin-stick shooters where you can run in and shoot everything, because you take one hit and you die. So you do have to be very careful, and you have to utilize each character's abilities by switching between the characters. So the angel has a dash ability that's very useful, and the demon has she can pass through walls. She can teleport small distances. And the angel can also turn invisible, which is very, very useful. The game is very difficult for me because of how sneaky you have to be, and I'm just one that would like to run in and just kill everything. So it's been taking me a little bit of time to get through these boards, but I've been having fun otherwise.
That's good, because, I mean, I find it to be not as hard as Hotline Miami, because Hotline Miami, there would just be the Phantom Sniper that would shoot you off screen, and there was nothing you could do. You could just be running, and there's no enemy on screen at all, and it's just some guy happens to have lightning distant laser vision and just shoot you off screen. And as you know, in Hotline Miami, if you get hit once by even so much as a handgun or a BB gun, you're dead. So it was always something that was very frustrating in that regard. But this one is not so terribly difficult. It is a difficult game in the sense of, you know, you do need to sneak around. You do need to, it's advisable to use stealth. But if you're really quick and well, you can brute force and take down other enemies and utilize their weapons. You can actually grab their guns. You can grab their melee weapons. I'm on the second stage, well, the second chapter, and I have to fight this demon that's basically the manifestation of famine. So she has these ghouls everywhere with giant clubs, and I can like just grab the clubs and then just wallop other enemies like real quick, or just throw the club and knock them out. So it's actually really cool. The music's pretty cool. The it's definitely hot. Like you got the Western 80s synth wave. The characters are voiced as well. There's some cutscenes. So far, so good. It's a really solid game. I personally like it very much. And we'll continue on with you. What else have you been playing? Heard you were lost on the train, so to speak?
I was, but I beat the game.
Oh, okay. Well, I was trying to segue into... I tried to segue with the train thing, and I couldn't. I got jumbled with my words. But
so I wound up beating Far Lone Sails. Fantastic game. Like, I got to the end. It just had so much emotion. I like the use of the mechanics in the game. So there'll be times where you'll be doing repetitive things. Like, at one point, you have to jump up and down on a caboose to get your whole train to move. And you're just sitting there pressing the A button. You're like, wow, this is kind of boring. And then that causes you to look into the background and see how barren and what's going on in the background of this city. And I was pondering, like, what happened to this world that you're the only person in this world? Like, I had some deep thoughts going on here
with this game. Well, I guess you can say, he took the midnight train going anywhere. And he did, but he never got anywhere, did he?
Yeah, no, it's a really good game. I highly recommend it, and it's only 3 hours long. Like, I think 3 or 4 hours I beat the game. And I also got a review copy for a game called Iron Snout, which I'm playing on the Vita. Which I don't think it's cross-buy, is it?
It is, actually.
Oh, okay. I'm going to have to go download that now.
Okay, yeah. So the good news, at least, that one comes from Rattalaika Games, ladies and gentlemen. So with PS4 and PS Vita. They've been pretty good at that. Most of their games are cross-buy. So you buy one and then you get the other copy free. And they're also really just stupidly easy on getting trophies. So how is that? Is that like a brawler? I saw some clips of it and it's like some people seem to like it.
It's really weird. I thought it was a brawler. I wouldn't even describe it. It sort of is a brawler.
Mm-hmm.
So the concept behind the game is you are the pig from, I guess, the Big Bad Wolf story, and mm-hmm. the wolves are attacking you, and you have to beat them up.
Of course, yeah.
Now, with most beat 'em up, you run around, you beat things up.
Right.
You never leave the place you're in. You don't move at all. Not a single ounce of movement. You don't use any of the buttons. The only thing you use is the D-pad. The D-pad is the only thing you use to play the game.
So this actually reminds me, so when you move the D-pads, that's kicking and punching? Or what is that?
That's like everything. So like, you have to learn like, up right might be a spin to the right, up left might be a spin to the right. You kick down, like it's really weird.
That actually reminds me, there was a Kung Fury video game that did that. You couldn't move or anything, but you had to use the D-pads. And it's like, how you use the D-pads would allow you to defend or attack an enemy a certain way. That's an interesting game. That was for Vita and PS4. And that was based off the best Kickstarter-funded 80s film that lasts 20 minutes, Kung Fury, which they are making a sequel, and I hope it comes soon. But in any case, yeah, so that sounds pretty interesting.
It is. And at first I was like, well, this is stupid. Like, you don't use any of the buttons. So I was like, okay, let me just try to figure this out. And I started playing and I was like, oh, I got like 20 guys. I think I could do better than that. Oh, damn. And then you start realizing the intricacies of the game. Like, for example, they have weapons they throw at you. You can catch those weapons and throw them right back at them.
Yeah.
So I'm like, okay, this is kind of cool. So like, what can I do? So I wound up getting really into the game, and I wound up platinuming the game. The platinum's about an hour. The hardest platinum, the hardest trophy to platinum the game is probably to get 50 kills without dying, but you do have like 10 lives or bacon strips in this case. And then the other trophy that was a little bit difficult, but it didn't take more than like 5 minutes, was you have to kill 10 in one hit point mode, which means you can only take one hit and you're dead.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
Yeah, so I don't know how... Do you know how much it's retailing for?
About like $3 or $4. Many of the Rattalaika games are actually pretty inexpensive. I'd say their most expensive one would have to be Stay. That's usually like $10 or $15. But these other ones, like they're quick, they're bite sized. You know, they're designed to be just fun and silly, and they've been actually making their way to the Switch as well for the same price. And you know, they're worth your time. Like these guys, like they like to port things. They like to try and get those games onto various different platforms, and you know, it's cool. Like they're cool guys that like making these little games. You know, they don't take themselves terribly seriously. So that's why I respect them. They just, you know, it's like, okay, you know, let's release a game, let's have some fun, let's have people play it, you know, let's throw tons of trophies in there and make it stupidly easy to get. So yeah, that's kind of how they roll. So I would recommend Blasting Agents 2 for the Vita. It's basically like, it's like G.I. Joe slash Contra. That's a really good one. And then I mentioned I played I Am the Hero, and that was a really good game, I would say, for the, that was like $5 or $6 for PS4, Switch, and Vita, and Xbox, I think.
The only other game I've been playing is Far Cry 5. I actually beat that game as well this weekend, which was really nice.
Good, good, okay. So, no spoilers, but how was the ending?
It was good. It was really good. I mean, it's pretty much spoiled if you've seen the trailers for the new game.
Oh yeah, because of the nuke and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I have to, that's another game that's in my backlog. Like, I'm trying to refrain really bad right now from buying anything new. Although I'm saying that, I'm gonna pick up Days Gone on Friday, and you know, because I kinda wanted like just get through my backlog, and also the fact that I'm going to too many games. We're both going to too many games in June, and I usually get a lot of freaking games there at the convention, so but yeah, like I heard though, this was a really interesting time. It was different. It was probably, maybe perhaps someone could argue, refreshing considering the nature of the game. You know, Far Cry 3 was on an island. Far Cry 4 was in Nepal, and this one's on, you know, American soil, and the vibe and the overall things are very, very different. So, I'll get around to it inevitably. I kind of want to play, like, finish, you know, continue playing what I'm playing, because, you know, what I'm playing is only an inkling. What I mentioned is only an inkling when I'm playing, so.
That's true. That's, yeah, absolutely,
like,
true.
Even now, like, Dragon's Dogma just came out on Switch, and it's just like, it's $30, and I kind of want to pick it up just so that I can have that experience on the go. And I heard it's really good on the go, by the way.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I have another game that I'm playing, but I will be glad to talk about that, I think, next week, because I want to get a little bit more into it further. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, so let's go to our topic of the show. So, I know you have to be very excited that they announced the PS5 this week, Roberto.
Yeah, I'm a little bit, my expectations have been slightly tempered only because, like, there's some other stuff with Sony that have arisen. Namely, of course, the censorship policies and the fact that we're not getting a Vita successor, and, you know, or at least not as of right now, no. But at the same time, I am pretty, I guess you could say, excited. I mean, I'm not like as I was when the PS2 was announced, because I still remember, like, having that, like, the butterfly feeling in your gut, you know? And just so excited for the future. And then the PS3, finally getting a PS3 when I got my high school diploma. But this one I'm pretty excited for, I'd say. You know, it's just, I think it's just a matter of wondering where we're going to go next. You know, what's going to happen. So yeah, I'll let you take the horn here.
Yeah, I want to talk about first what was announced. So first of all, they came out and they said that the system will have a physical media of some type. So they have to do a, they're not doing an all digital system.
Good.
They did say that it would have a solid state drive,
which is a big deal.
Which is interesting. Yeah, that is a big deal, which means faster load times, which that's one of the problems that the PlayStation always has, is, of course, the load times. Mm-hmm. They did announce that it would be backwards compatible, which is very nice. I had predicted that with the next consoles that they should do backwards compatibility because of the Xbox and their big backwards push, because now that system becomes more versatile for a lot of people.
Right.
It's also going to have 3D audio, and it will support 8K graphics. Now, this system will also have ray tracing, which is the way the light is projected to make it more realistic. And that there was an article that came out that said basically Sony said that they are going to try to keep it low in price and not jack up the price, which is really nice because with that 8K graphics and that solid state, that's a lot of money right there.
Yeah, so that's going to be like that, that we can talk about for a long time and speculate from now till 2021 or whatever when the game's, the system releases. Because, you know, the solid state drive, that's, I mean, that's a big deal. And then the fact that you're, it's going to be 8K and everything, like you're talking about some really cutting edge technology as of this time. And I am very, very pleased though, that it's going to be backwards compatible because, it's safe to say that people still want to look for the future, but they're always going to have that itch for the past, especially when you look at games that just had marvelous design and infinite replay value. They want to go back to that. You know, that's why, like, that's one thing that Microsoft is doing pretty okay now. Some could argue and say, oh, well, Microsoft has been thinking about the past all this time and not the future. Well, though, now that's changed. But now that it's like, you know, now they've decided to, you know, like, but the backwards compatibility is still very bit, has been important.
And that's, you know, going to make the console more appealing to the consumer. Because as for me, I'm like, well, why am I going to get the PS5? I have a PS4. I have a ton of games. And if you remember the launch of the original PS4, the games were nothing. Same thing with the Xbox, there was nothing. Being that now you can have backwards compatibility, you're going to increase the appeal to the consumer.
Right. I mean, there was, I mean, there was like some things for the PS4 launch lineup. There was Killzone Shadows Fall in particular, and then Infamous Second Son. But yeah, I can see your point. And
The other thing I want to talk about is that ray tracing. There's something very interesting about them announcing the ray tracing, and I didn't realize this until my husband pointed it out. PlayStation uses AMD architecture.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have any graphics card currently on the market that does ray tracing.
So they're gonna, that means they're going to put one in the PS5, right?
Does it? Or are they going to go NVIDIA? Does that mean that they're actually going to be switching graphic card users?
Right, and then once again, that's gonna, if they go to NVIDIA, y'all know that that's gonna, that I don't know what they're thinking about price point, but they gotta be selling that thing at a loss or something if it's gonna be sold at $400.
Exactly.
Because it's like, that's, I mean, I'm not, you're more experienced in PC stuff than me, and exchanging graphic cards and stuff, but it's like, every time I look at like a NVIDIA anything, that stuff's way up there in price. Like, that stuff is designed to, you know, make you make your face melt like those bad guys in Indiana Jones because of the amazing graphical processor. So,
well, the other reason why your graphic cards are so high is because of Bitcoins.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's another thing. That's a whole other.
Yeah, that's a whole other issue yeah, that we don't need, like, to get into.
Yeah, like some guy like dipped, like they showed this on one of those like videos on Facebook. Like some guy dipped these computers in like a cooling water gel thing to generate Bitcoin, and I'm like, what are you doing? You're just putting machines in the water that turn on in the water, and it's like it gets hot and stuff to make coins. This is so weird.
But Bitcoin anyway, is very hot.
Yeah.
So that's what Xbox announced, and that's kind of our thoughts. That's what PlayStation announced, and that's our right. thoughts.
So what's your thoughts on the Xbox ad?
And that's what I want to talk about next. So the Xbox One also announced a system, the Xbox One S 1TB with no disk drive at a price point of $249.99. This is meant to get a system to the kids, to the families that can't afford it.
Mm-hmm.
Because you take that system and you combine that with their now Game Pass and their Xbox Live, which is combined, for $15 a month, you don't ever have to buy your kids games.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good point. You know, like with that, I mean, the only thing would have to be like 1TB's a little low, especially like right now I have with my PS4, I have an 8TB external hard drive attached because it's just of all the data that, you know, the hard drive space. Like some of the games alone have like Doom alone has close to 100 gigs installed on my PS4 hard drive. So I guess it's
good. If only you can do that for your Switch.
Yeah, yeah. Oh my gosh, I'm almost filled with that. That's kind of why I didn't want, like, I didn't get Dragon's Dogma digitally, because I just knew, like, I'm not gonna be able to play this. Or even Mortal Kombat, but 11, which came out today, and that has, like, that's so many, like, there's like a 20 gig install, and then another 20 gigs with a patch. But anyways, okay, back to the point about Xbox. Yeah, I can see it becoming something good, you know, for like you mentioned the Game Pass system, and that I think that's going to be the big breadwinner of this particular system, considering that it's going to be a system, you know, that's all digital, and then you have all these great games that are digital now, you know, and it's, of course, you know, why should you have a physical media for anything if you've got the Game Pass and also the access to these various games? So I think it'll be pretty good. I mean, it's a little bit, I think that it could be priced a little bit less, considering that we're nearing the end of the life cycle of these systems, and also the fact that it's only 1 terabyte. Like, if it was 2 terabyte or anything like that, you know, I could kind of understand maybe the pricing there. It's inexpensive for $250. I would just put that sucker at like 150 or 200. Just because, you know, I think that's a more competitive price point. And like I said, you know, people are already talking about the next generation systems. I'm not saying Microsoft is going to showcase their system this year. I don't think that's going to happen. But the you know, if you're in gaming and you go to any kind of retailer, they're going to tell you, like, you know, we got new systems coming in probably in the next 2 years. Like, I think, you know, it'll be 2021 when we get an Xbox successor, and then we get the PS5. And if Nintendo Switch wants to make a Switch Pro Mini Super or something, I don't know, we'll get one by that point too as well. So, yeah.
The other thing is, I think with this all-digital system, Microsoft is testing the waters before they announce their system. Sony jumped out of the gate early in an attempt to get ahead of Microsoft. I think Microsoft is testing the waters, because if you remember at the beginning of this generation, Microsoft wanted to go all-digital. And that created a huge backlash, and the president really did a terrible job with the marketing.
Well, right. Well, it was more than that. It was also those policies, like the DRM, the mandatory internet check-in for your system to work, for the architecture, the mandatory use of Kinect with the system architecture, the watermarking of discs, so you couldn't even, like, if you're in college and you bought a game and you played it, the disc would be watermarked and it couldn't work in another Xbox unit. So, I mean,
I didn't hear the watermark. I don't think that's really a true. Yeah, I think that's not true. Let's go back to the DRM. So, a lot of people are upset about the DRM. Now, what do you think about this, the DRM that you couldn't?
Well, that's the problem. And especially when you go back on talking about the Google Stadia, which we're not even talking about that now. Did you notice that? Like, that just came and went. but in any case, it's that despite all of the great technological advances in Western territories, in the United States and so on, despite our advances in making the internet more accessible to everybody, there are still very large sections of our country and other nations and other places where the internet is not readily available or reliable. And so, you know, you get any one of these systems, and sure, it's digital, it's great, but then it's like you have to factor in the internet download of trying to get the game. So now if you add DRM, that's a whole nother headache, because now, you know, if you have a low or bad internet connection and the DRM's just not registering that, and then, you know, that's it, your system just becomes one giant paperweight. And that could be troublesome. Like, I still remember, for example, there was a game called Bionic Commando Rearm 2. It was for the PS3, PSN. And during the hack attack, I couldn't play the game. If you remember 2011, PS3 had the worst hacking attack in the history of consumer electronic products, or at least consumer electronic products at the time. I mean, I think Equifax got it beat. But in any case, there were games that had DRM, and that was one of them. And I was like, you need to be connected to the PlayStation Network to play this. And it's like, I couldn't play this. And even right now, for those that bought Mortal Kombat 11 for the Switch, there are entire functions of the game that cannot and will not allow you to play without an internet connection, and considering it's a mobile platform, it kind of sucks, because, like, it's not to say the game is unplayable, but the game is also monetized around, you know, getting rewards and things like that, kind of like a mobile video game. So, like, you want to be online when you play, so you get rewards and you get tracked and all that stuff, and now you can't because, you know, you're offline and whatever, so. So that's kind of like a hampering of that. So that's something to take into consideration with that. I mean, I understand, like, I think actually at this point, piracy isn't so much a threat like it once was. You really don't really hear about piracy anymore with video games. It sounds like either just because there's a large abundance out there, or because they're free, you know, or because of Game Pass, maybe, like, some of these programs are so good in what they do, like, they don't even, like, they just bypass and negate the need for having piracy, you know, and in downloading a game illegally. So there's that. So it's frustrating, in my opinion. I think that there still is a use for it, depending on what it is, but because there must be some kind of security out there, I think, because there's going to always be somebody who wants to ruin it for everybody else, but I think that, like, sometimes you have to think about the consumer and what they want too, and what they want to, and the accessibility and the of using their product without having to be compromised by something like, you know, like a DRM. So with Xbox One, with the Xbox S Digital Edition, it's just, like you said, I think it is a testing of the waters, because there have been talks about making things all digital, and I still feel that there's still a place in the world where physical media still matters. The ability to hold something and play something on your own dime without having to worry about internet protection, DRM, or the internet, I think is very noble. Like, right now, for example, I'm playing Earth Defense Force Iron Reign on my PS4, and I wish there was a physical copy of that game, because then I could just play it on my own. We've had, some power outages, you know, over the winter, and sometimes the internet gets knocked out. Even now, like, I had some issues with the internet, and just because of the area, because it's a coastal area, and it's just, I would hate to not be able to play something because of the internet connection. There's also not even including if the network just goes down on its own, or games being taken away, things like that. So,
okay, interesting. All right, let's go to our question of the week on our Facebook group.
Yeah, we definitely struck into a chord with a lot of people this week.
So you said topic of the week. What are your thoughts on PlayStation 5? Will you get one? Do you know the way?
Yes. Do you know the way?
Oh, I thought you were talking about whey protein.
That's a good one, though.
Daniel Jones says yes, but will it be backwards compatible, though? And you said yes, it will. So, yes, it will.
Mm-hmm.
Matt says, not our Matt, the other Matt, our listener Matt, yes, and if the rumors of being backwards compatible will be true, then I can reliably sell my PS4 when it comes out, and the Knuckles meme died 5 months ago.
Memes are the DNA of the soul. They never die.
Matt says, RIP Ducks, you are a dumb mem. okay. I'm going to have to catch it. Wow, that was a whole thread. You guys can go totally check it out. It's pretty funny. Joseph is very excited. It's going to contain a disk drive. Yes, it is, Joe. Alexander says, when it drops below 300, sure. Joseph says, see you in 3 to 4 years.
Yeah, because that's not with a Sony product, that's not happening anytime soon.
Katie says, depends on the games, to be honest. Switch and PC already hold it down for real nice. Yes, that is true.
Right, yeah, because that's the other thing, too. I mean, you know, it's, you look at, like, I mean, I mentioned Google Stadia in my previous statement, and it seems so weird because, like, that was the big thing a couple weeks ago, and now no one's really talking about it. I guess because, you know, we don't really know what the games are going to consist on and stuff. But we don't know what that's going to do for the gaming industry. We don't know if that's going to be something supported for the long term, if it's going to crash and burn, if it's going to die off. It's supposed to come out this year, and that might be the testing waters for what the world that Xbox and PlayStation and Nintendo are entering. Like, you know, this this very interesting connected gaming network. You know, maybe the established method that these guys have had with Game Pass and PlayStation Network, and maybe it might be going the way of the dinosaur. But at the same time, like I said, you know, maybe there's a need for it because of the fact that it's what players want, it's what players need. It's practical, perhaps it's not complicated. And also, like I said, the physical media aspect, allowing something, you know, to own something and pass it along to friends. And I'll tell you that back in college, you know, I stayed on campus and, like, you know, I had some buddies play games and, you know, I lent my copy of Spider-Man Shattered Dimensions to somebody and they had a good time playing it. So that still matters, you know, and pre-owned games and things like that. So, so it'll be neat. I'd have to say, in closing, it's interesting to see. Definitely watch for all sorts of corners and information. I don't expect there to be a lot of information released in a month or two with E3 coming up. I would have to say the Google Stadia will have to be a litmus test as to where we're headed and to see how people respond both in the short and long term for Google Stadia and to see where we're going to be headed. Fascinating stuff. I would still like for the Vita successor to happen, but that's a dream. Or maybe, I don't know, maybe Nintendo to make another Virtual Boy. Which they totally could. You know they could do that. They made the Labo VR, and I don't know how that's going, but...
All right, and that brings us to the end of our show. How can we get in touch with you, Roberto?
Meow.
yeah, sorry. She's going crazy today. There might be a bug in this room, and she keeps trying to tell me that there's a bug in this room.
Yeah, that's Kalai's cat, Monami, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah, it's possible. You know, like, I mean, not to terrify people, but, like, you know, I was at my second job lifeguarding, and this brown spider just, like, kind of was, like, dangling, being like, yo, Berto, what's up? Hanging around the hot tub? I'm like, I'm not touching that tube, man. I'm not terrified of spiders, but it's just, I don't want to get bit by one, so. But, yeah, so. But anyway, you can reach me at PlayStation Network VectorMan88. That's, you know, named after, that's named after this famous Sega Genesis character. Nintendo Switch, just let me know. You can also, if we're friends on Facebook or Twitter, you can actually, find me on that friend search thing. You can look through social media. Major Sloth 1988, Major on Instagram and Snapchat. You can find me on Facebook in the Facebook Game Stuff chat group, I should say. You can find me on Twitter at JehuTy88. That's JehuTy. And of course, you can find me here on Game Stuff Podcast. Also, you can find me on But Why Though Podcast, a website dedicated to all things geeky. And you can find me on stackup.org military charity. We're gearing up for our major charity event called Call to Arms, in which a group of streamers will be streaming all month long and supporting our troops and members of the armed forces through donations of newer video games, as well as, of course, small donations to fund any kind of donation or support you can give. Even if it's just watching the stream, is greatly appreciated. So that we're going to be starting to sound the beat the drums on that, so to speak, in about a week or two. So, yeah. What about you, Kalai?
They can get in touch with me on Twitter at Kalai21. That's K-A-L-A-I, the number 21. You can also find me on Steam at the same name. You can find me on PlayStation at Miley, M-A-I-L-E, 1978. And you can find me on the Xbox at Miley21. You can find me in the Game Stuff podcast, chilling out and everything. Yeah, so definitely check us out. If you like our show, you could check out our other short shows. You could check out the Trophy Horse. You can also check out the Nintendo Dual Screens, who have been killing it.
Yes, they have.
Yeah. We do have a few sponsors. We're sponsored by Amazon. Just go to provengamer.com, click on any Amazon link, and do your shopping like normal. We also have partnered with Humble Bundle. You can click on my link in my show notes, take you over there. There's some great games you can get cheap. They're doing a Humble Bundle for board games for your phone, your computer, which is really nice right now. It includes Scythe, which is supposed to be a really good game for like $12. So go check that out. I also want to thank the people that helped us with the show. So thank you to the band Take Away the Ugly. And of course, Isaac Sigo for doing our logo. So thank you so much. You can find all their information in our show notes. So thank you for listening, and we'll see you on the next episode of Game Stuff.
Thank you very much, everyone, for listening. By the way, happy Endgame week for Avengers Endgame, but just a friendly reminder, Thanos demands your silence. No spoiling the movie, but have a good one, and may the Force be with you. Take care.